The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
To receive a worship, for you have made all things, and thou hast redeemed us by thy blood from all kindreds and all the people from every nation. And you have made us unto yourself a peculiar people. You are worthy to receive all the praise tonight. We worship you. We give the glory and honor to you alone. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this place, of interaction with you. Thank you for choosing a time like this for this. Thank you for counting us worthy of that which you are doing now. We thank you, my Father. We give praise to you tonight. I just want to bless the Lord tonight and give thanks to Him for the opportunity given to us at this time to begin to interact together on things like this. I was telling my wife in the morning, I said, I don't know why it's just coming at this time. We never had the time to do this kind of thing last year. It was evident that some things were done in our lives and the life of people who were around there last year. But we're never able to go to this dimension. We never found grace to be able to open up this dimension and to be able to walk with the Lord there and interact with the Lord there and commune with Him to see what He's saying, what we have to say. But He has just chosen a time like this with us, and it's because He knows what He's doing. It's not just an impromptu God. It's not God that comes with frivolities. It comes because He knows that it's a time for this purpose of Him to be achieved among us. We want to thank you, Father, tonight. We want to give the praise to you. We want to give all the glory to you for the privilege. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for everyone at this time who is able to find grace to be in the house. I will thank you because of that which you have in mind for us to fulfill by this gathering together. We thank you for the transformation coming to us. We thank you for a new energy, a new strength of the Spirit coming to us. We thank you for a new lifestyle that is bringing forth in this place. Yeah, the Lord is emphasizing at this time a conversation of His among His people. He's emphasizing that He wants a lifestyle to be expressed on the earth. He wants to receive a thing from us by reason of the life we live on the earth. Every day, every minute, every hour of the day, throughout the week, throughout the whole month, throughout the whole year, God wants to take praise from us. But we thank you for the choosing to come for an offering like this at this time, because you are preparing yourself for an offering. You are praying for yourself for an harvest. You are investing on us because you know what to expect to come back and to take back from us. We thank you because you are the husbandman that labor, and you are worthy of the first fruit. You are worthy to be partaker of the first fruit. We count it a worthy thing. We count it a worthy wisdom. We count it a worthy word to meditate at our hearts on upon at a time like this, oh God. We are not counting what you are saying and what you are doing for naught. We are not saying that you just came into our midst to do what you want to do your own way and just go away. We know that you come for an impact. You come for an effect. You come to infuse to us. You come to affect us. You come to change us. You come to displace us and to replace us and dislocate us and to locate us. We thank you for the rearrangement that is going on at this time with the issues of our life, We thank you because no, we are not holding back anything from you. We're not holding back any part of our soul and our life. We're not holding back any part of our life from you. We're saying, Father, we are opening up to you everything in us. We open our hearts to you. We're saying, come and take your place in us tonight. We ask you, Father, and we're just praying to you. We're just asking you at this time for every individual in this house that we will not be able to withhold from the Lord. We'll not be able to lock up the doors of the heart against him. We'll not be able to keep the Lord out of our heart, out of our soul. We'll be able to respond to the knock at this time that is beckoning to us to open the door of our heart for him to come in and be part of us and interact with us and fellowship with us and come in with us and take of us and give us unto us of ease. We thank you, Lord, for this time because we're not going to hold back from you. We're not going to hold back from you. We're not going to just keep ourselves away from you. We're not going to just count this investment, this ministry at this time, an unworthy thing. We're not going to just do despite to the spirit of grace. We're not going to just count unworthy what grace and the spirit of grace has come to do in this house at this time. Oh, Lord, our Father, we open up ourselves to you. We open up this whole house to you. We open up everyone in this whole house to you, oh Lord, that no one will find grace, will find any strength to hold back. Lord, that the grace of fire this time is the grace to open up to you and to open up every aspect of our life, that you come and touch us, you come and scatter us, that we may be gathered together unto you, O Lord, that we may be gathered together unto your name, my Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If the we pray, our Father, tonight, that much more than what you are saying, we will hear you. Say, once has the Lord spoken to us of our heart, that power belongs to God. Once have you spoken, the hearing that brings forth effect it has a way of coming back again. It's not able to just come just once and go away. It comes again. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's a hearing that brings about an impact of the word of God. We are just asking for that hearing, my Father, that we have the ear to hear. We don't want to turn the deaf ear to you. There's a deafness in us. We don't want to turn that deafness to you. We want to turn the right ear to you, that we may right hear you rightly and be saved from the perdition, from the destruction that is locked up there, outside there, ahead. That for that reason you have come at this time to stretch forth your hands to us to lift us out of that waters of life, out of that waters of destruction, for which you have just stretched forth your hands to us at this time to raise us up to yourself. We pray, our Father, in the name of Jesus, that the time ahead will not catch up with us. We go through process of redemption at this time. We allow redemption power to find its flow through us. We allow truth of God's word to find its flow through us. Oh, Lord, we pray tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For men of understanding, we increase learning. Men of knowledge, we increase learning. When you give your ear to knowledge, when you give yourself up to know and to seek and to know, you are bound to increase in learning. But we pray to increase in the learning experience. Not just learning of the head, learning of the heart, learning experience. That is able to bring forth a total change in us at this time. We pray, our Father, Lord, that you will help us to hear the hearing of faith, the hearing of life, to hear the voice of heaven, the voice of faith, the voice of reasoning, the voice of wisdom, that we may hearken to the call of God at this time and respond. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Rashka Pobala Sinabai, Apobala Rashke Hatali, Brana Master Ho Rasa Poliba Saptali, Apeliba Rashke Head the Labour Ho, Rasa Pobalashke and the Labour Namastiamo Saptali, Rashka Pobala Sidi. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Jeremiah 7:23 says, but these things commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Lord, we pray tonight that we will not regard and keep the evil imagination of our heart. It is driven by selfishness. What drives the evil imagination of the man is selfishness. What controls itself? There's something about man that he does not want to let go itself. He will do everything to keep that self. And that was why they said to him, but they acting not. They didn't say to God, we're working not. But you see what was then that was working against them? The evil counsel of their heart. But they acting not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels that and in the imagination of their evil heart. They made a choice of what they want to walk in. We pray tonight, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to act into wisdom. Said he was doing all those things that their end may be well, but they thought God was against them. They counted the commandment of God grievous. Are you there? I read from Jeremiah 7, verse 23. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. So why is God bringing all these things to us? That it may be well with us. Say, how do they have known that all this loss was given to them as a commandment, that their latter end may be well? So, it's not that God is against us, he's trying to reduce us, he's trying to caution. No. He's just doing these things to make our life better. Do you understand? But somewhere there, the evil heart says, no, I know what is best for my life. So, it's like a potter who is struggling with the potter. And says, why are you making me thus? I have a cancer within my heart of what is the best thing for me. That is the clay speaking to the potter. But you are a clay, you have no life of yourself. You are altogether dependent on the heart, on the counsel of the potter who fashions the clay. He breaks the clay down again and remold it. What I pray tonight, Father, I see that there is a sensitive thing we are handling. Are we together, please? Very sensitive. And I've learned that before and over, that man is difficult. But God will save us. I said, God will save us. We pray tonight, Father, we want to ask you that our end may be well. Help us to hearken to you. Help us to believe you. Help us to trust you. Help us to hear with the hearing of faith. You know, he said the word that the heart did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in their hearts. I wait together, please. But what we say normally, that the word comes by, you know what, the faith comes by hearing and hearing. But the word they had did not prove, because faith was supposed to be in the heart, for faith will come again. It is faith that brings faith. Is that not true? We are praying to you, Father, that we have the hearing of faith, that what we're hearing will be mixed with faith in our heart. We'll have the willingness to do all the law. We'll be willing not to keep ourselves and tell. See, there's a way that your willingness drives your intensity to grasp. Yeah, when you are willing, say, if you will be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So willingness even comes before obedience. If you are not willing, obedience will be difficult. We pray tonight, Father, that we will be willing. The heart of your people will be willing to embrace all of you, and will be willing to embrace all you are speaking, will be willing to allow you to have your thoroughfare and thorough process in our life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you, Father, we pray to you for a new people, a regenerated family. We ask, oh God, for a people who are bursting forth in a new spirit, in a new with a new life, with a new approach to life, with a new focus, with a new purpose, with a new vision, with a new sight, with a new understanding, in the name of the Lord Jesus. A people who are going to take everything in them as an instrument of praise to God, that will become a showing thought of praise to His name, that will not in any way regard anything unto ourselves, but to show forth your praise in the midst of these nations, in the midst of this crooked, wicked nation, that will be willing, will be ready, will be prepared at this time, will allow you to prepare us to go through the process to become a praise to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, we ask you tonight that we love you, we'll seek you with all our heart, we'll love you, we'll embrace you, we'll look unto you, we'll look unto your face, we'll look unto your mercy, unto life in the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll seek your mercy unto eternal life in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll seek the mercy of the Lord. We'll seek the favor that comes from God alone. We'll seek the honor that God is only able to give in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not be a people that seek the honor of men, that seek the praise of men. We'll seek your praise. We'll be yielded all together to you to know that you are the only one who can justify. You are the only one who can raise from the dead. You are the only one who can kill and make alive again. You are the one who has the key of AIDS and death. You are the one who has the key of life. You are the one who gives life. You are the Prince of Life. And whatever you kill dies and has no life in itself. And whatever you make alive, it lives by itself. Oh, we pray, oh God, for understanding at this time, that will come to the elevation of place in our heart where we are ready with you, where we are willing with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, make a bashkehata, merosh kehata, Abraham, marosh kehata, libraho, urasapa, libasaptale. And those kehate libraho, maroshke hande libranishke polbarra, rasta paba saptalia, merashke polbarra, asapta libro, amoroshke pop, arrobalat, rasapaya, merashapat, that will not go backward, O God. We make progress in the spirit, will not go backward, will not return back to our vomit again in the name of Jesus. The things we have denied, the things we have turned away from, will not go back to them anymore. We make progress in the line with the word of life, with the word that is coming to us, with the word of grace, with the truth that is coming to us in the name of Jesus. Meshkepa rat astapa will not draw back unto perdition. Oh God, we move ahead on the saving of the soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Meshkepa rat astalibos to hanoshim apara andeshkeha amroshke 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 epolibar rabalashkeha andoloshkeha tip. Regadeshkia, Regadeshkia Palibarra, Asta Palibasapta, Merashki and the Lobo, Amroshke, 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 Elibar Rabalashkia, Elibar Rabalashkia, Atobromo, Arostabo, Omorobosia, Apalibarra, Apap, Merashap app, Merashap app, Merashap app, Merashap app, Merashap app, Merashap app, Apolbarra, Rostapan, Rosta Palibasidia. Thank you, Mother Father. Lord, we give all the praise and all the glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say this to us before we go ahead tonight. As long as we are seekers of this world, all the things we are saying will become under religion and that way of showing forth of human strength. It's just like in those days when you meet the Jehovah Witness people, they want to fulfill God's word. But they have a way of trying to fulfill it by the letter. So at the end of the day, it's another way of the praise of men. And then I'm saying now, at the end of the day, you see there is a showing forth of human strength in the process. God, it does not end up bringing praise to God. The thing that will have gender towards bringing praise to God is done with a sense of trying to show to men that we are the one who knows how to do it. I don't know what I'm saying. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, this is not, that's why we have not come to a point to tell you this is how, and trying to tell you how it should be done exactly. We have been told on the underlying principles that should guide everything we do in life. Are we together, please? The praise of men is a major content of the heart of people, of heart of man. And that's one of the problems the Pharisees had. They like to do a thing that will make men say, yes, yes. They're not a people that are seeking the praise of God. They're not a people that they know there's God and they know there's praise of God, but they prefer the praise of men than the praise of God. Are we in the house together, please? And as long as you want that, you want to please men, you want to be in the bright book of men. Let me tell you one thing. That since I have begun to take stand for the truth that I know is true and revealed by God, and I know that is the best way to allow God to have his way in this matter with my parents, with my family, and whosoever I work with, I have found that to start with is always very tough, very, very difficult. They see you as strange. I went to that place. I went to the house, place. People assume that if this is not there, then what is life? They see that without that thing, life does not exist. Am I with you, please? Without what men has put there, the kinikashi, tabashi, kiloku, what are we living up for? But I have found out that at the end of the day, when you take your stand for righteousness, men come back to say, oh, we like it. This is better way of doing it. So you were not for the first time seeking men's praise, or else would have done the way they wanted it done. You have done it the way God wanted it done, and God has released the praise ahead of men. But men will still come back to say, it may take time. But we are not ready to go through that moment where we seem to be alone. A man who wants to seek God's praise must be ready to be alone. Because it is only you and God that know that what you are doing is to his praise. I'm with you, please. Since I have begun to do that, I have found out at the end of the day that people end up loving me than I thought they would. And that does not mean that I still expect that they will respond right in anything. I remember one of the days I told my father, I said, an issue came up in the family against my half-brother. And my father was going to take a stand, or this something I felt is not born out of love. And he was telling us that that was the best way he could have done it. And I said, Daddy, that's not true. That's not the best way you could have done it. If somebody else is in that shoe, you could have done something else than what you have done now. And I told him that that's not good. It's not right for it to be that way. Now, I was not telling him that you are a fool, no. But I've told him this thing, if I were in that shoe, you wouldn't do what you have done. You will go all the way, you will say you were tired, you didn't have time to go and check that person, you didn't have that time to go. And if somebody else were in that shoe, not only that you will send somebody to go and check for the person, you will struggle there to get there. So it is not your tiredness that is your problem. But Father, you prefer something to the other one. Are we together, please? Now, at the first point, it was a blow to the whole house. I was just trying to say my thing the way I saw it. And my Abra couldn't believe what was going on. They were shocked. That dude was shocked, and he struggled to come out of that and to tell himself, okay, and to do, make it plain and make it draw. Nobody was taking to win anything, any matter. But you know, the thing has been spoken. At the end of the day, he came to know that what he did was wrong. And at the end of the day, when we led that meeting, everybody gave praise to God and we blessed the name. That meeting could have scattered that day and everybody would go back to his tent. Am I with you, please? Yeah. So if at that point, I didn't know if Paul was going to take it right, if it was going to go right with my brother, I didn't know. But I just knew that in God's sight, this is what is going on right. And we declare it. What am I just pointing to? You may not end up making friends quickly with men. But the end of the matter, it will be well with you. Do you understand? So tonight, I want you to take a point of strength and ask the Lord, strengthen my heart for righteousness. Do you understand now? It takes strength of the heart to stand for righteousness. Having done all to stand therefore. So there's a doing of all to stand. What we do understand is a preparation to stand. That at every point, you can now take a stand and say, this is what is going on. If you have not gone through the process of standing, doing all to stand, when it's time to stand, you will be found wanting. Do you see what I'm saying now? You just find that you are not able to stand. The thing slip in your hand. And I was trying to say it though. And I said it though, but the way you were saying, they didn't hear it. And it was as if you didn't say anything. It was like you are consenting to what they said. So tonight, I want us to ask the Lord, Father, help me. As we are going through this preparation, let me help be yielded to the preparation. Let me find grace to allow myself to be prepared. Let me find grace for yieldedness. Let me be willing in this whole thing at this time, and Father, that your lifestyle can begin to find communication among men. We pray you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, Lord, that we will be a people who seek your praise than the praise of men. We will be a people that seek the honor of God, that seek the glory of God, that seek life of God. A people that have been taken over by the passion to see God glorified on the earth. We pray, O Lord, our Father, that if it is going to take us laying down that, actually it's going to take that, it's going to require that, us laying down something, laying down our life, laying down our issues of life, laying down our pride, laying down our ego, laying down our personalities, lay down what men has known us for, and so on and so forth. If God just involve that, we say, Father, we find grace to just do that to the end that your name alone might be glorified. That your name be praised on the earth, that our end together might be good. That we may make progress towards you. We may make progress towards your kingdom. We may make progress towards your life. We may advance the more towards your coming. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may live a life that is contradictory to that which has been set on the earth here. A life that is opposing to that which the enemy has carved out here. A life that is opposing that which the enemy has designed for men here. We pray, Father, that we receive wisdom. We receive discernment. We receive open up the eyes at this time. We receive understanding. We receive enlightenment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive strength in the inner man. That, oh God, we'll be able to just take that stand where it is required. We go through that thorough preparation at this time. In the name of Jesus, prepare our heart. Prepare our mind. Teach us, instruct us. Lord, grant us wisdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that the power of the enemy might be broken, might be destroyed. We may see the power of the wicked destroyed. Part of the prince of this world destroyed in our lives. In the name of Jesus, that we may walk unto liberty. We may walk in your word. We may desire your word and walk in liberty and walk in freedom and express freedom in every way. To make a choice to choose that which is life. To choose that which, to refuse that which is evil and choose life. In the name of Jesus, we partake of honor and butter. We partake of strength and light. In the name of Jesus, make about rap no rush up and rush kappa. Menda was the Hanosia, Rabalashkia, a Telibot, a Rooster, Imbradashkia, a Paliba Rabalashkia, Rasa Paliba Sapta, Imbarushkiata, a Rushkapot, Rasa Paliba City. Thank you, my Father. Lord, we give all the praise and all the glory to you. We appreciate you, Jehovah. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to just take, look on what we had yesterday. And I trust the Lord that we're going to find a lot of mercy. I beg you, please. I beg you. I don't know why I'm stressing this. Don't keep yourself away from this flow. Don't tell yourself, I know what I will do. I beg you. There was a time I said to us, even if you have been in a relationship before you came to meet us here, from where you are, let's begin to see how to do it right. Are you hearing me? Yeah, let's begin to see how you can do it right and end well. By my experience, nobody has that crafty way of that always go scot-free. Nobody. Anybody who knows how to live a dual life, it's a craft of the soul. That thing will never leave you throughout your life. You apply the same thing in your marriage. You apply the same thing to your children. You apply the same thing to everything you do. Proverbs says, if you do not obey or hear my word, said, when your calamity shall come upon you, say, I shall laugh at you. That was wisdom. I like that place. Let me read the place to you. Then we'll just go ahead tonight and see what God will have to say to us. Let me read from verse 18. Something says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And we fill their treasures. Sorry, I'm going somewhere there. Is it chapter 4 then? I think it should be chapter 8. Is that? Is it 35? Okay. It's not in that chapter. Wisdom was just crying in the streets. Was crying in the gate, out crying on the top of high places and declaring men to come to him. And he said, if you heard and you do not come, when your calamity will come, I will also mock at you. Hallelujah. Is it 126? But you have set at naught all my counsel, and I will not up my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. That's that place. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction cometh as the whirlwind. You may call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So I just find out that people have a way of trying to find wisdom when they're already in their trouble. When you are reading your calamity, you don't know what, what is the way out. When you are crying, you don't see. That's what Yoruba says. Is that what it says? When you are crying, can you see? The first thing you have to do is to clean the water first to make you see. So don't wait till the time when you start crying. Because then you will not see. Are we together, please? It is better. Wisdom calls and you act into wisdom to learn at the feet of wisdom. Then you are saving yourself from the day of calamity. Because when the day comes, because the evil day will come, but you'll be able to stand at that kind of day. Are we together, please? The Lord will help us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. I count this time as a time of preparation for us. God has just chosen us at this time to do a kind of thing with us which I don't yet understand. Truly speaking. Because the area we're talking about now is a vital place that for many years we never had time to sit down to talk about it. This is the first time for the past 8 years that we have time to really elaborately sit on these things, apart from maybe I met somebody and we share together, and maybe there's an issue on ground and we talk together. This is the first time we have time to meet together and interact on this. So I know it's not just a coincidence. There's a great demand coming on you by that, and you have no choice. You have to develop it, and others around you must have to just know that this is your life once with you. And come into it because they desire to be with you. Are we in the house, please? Now, that is vital for us. We are not many here at this time, but I expect that you will be able to reach the next 10 people around you with the same life you live, not just by preaching it, by living it and by shining that same light into the darkness around you. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us and the Lord will strengthen us in the name of Jesus Christ. Where did we stop yesterday? We handled the marriage ceremony yesterday. Let's see what we can handle today. How far we can go. Let's welcome PJ.
Hallelujah. I just want to ask before we begin whether there are questions based on yesterday that later came up in your mind. Are there any? None. Hallelujah. Today we'll proceed and try to see what we can do on other aspects of social involvement. Maybe the naming ceremony, and let's mention all the ceremonies that we'll have around. We have naming ceremony, burial ceremony, yes, housewarming, graduation ceremony, birthday ceremony. That's all we can think of. So many forms of ceremony. Housewarming, it goes in two phases. When you nail your house, when you are roofing your house rather, there's a ceremony that is conducted. We'll look at that as well. But let's start with naming ceremony and we'll move to others. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, that children are the heritage of the Lord. That's Psalm 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are the heritage, are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As the arrows are in the hand of mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So children are gifts from the Lord. The Bible called them heritage of the Lord. And it's God who gives children, irrespective of how they come about. He's the one who gives children. But looking at the Bible, the first place where naming, as it were, will happen, we can always trace it back to the book of Genesis, where God named things by himself. Say, let the dry land appear out of the water, and the Lord called it earth. So the Lord named it. From there it passed to Adam. Adam was called upon to give names to animals and everything, and Adam named them, and whatsoever name he gave them, the Bible says, remained their names. Now, what is the importance of giving names? Of what importance is identifying something? Now, in the Hebrew, the word name means shame. Shame. And in Greek, it means onoma. Both of them have the same meaning, which simply means authority. You understand that now? No, the authority on something, and identity upon something. So we don't just call things names for the fun of it. There is always an intention when names are given. Even around us, various things have been named, and they are named with an intention. Now, if you look through the scriptures, when the first time we see people giving names, you know, Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel. We were just told that. And Adam gave birth to Cain, who was this, and Abel, who was that. But in Genesis 4:26, you will see where the Bible said that when Adam gave birth to another son, he called his name Seth. Actually, it was the woman that even called that name. For she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And in a replacement, as it were, for the former one, for Abel that was killed. Now, if you look through the whole scriptures, you will see that people that were giving names, various people gave names. We saw Jesus gave some people names, isn't it? Jesus named some people. He named his disciples. He called James and John. He called them Boanerges, sons of thunder. You understand that now? That's the name he gave them. He called Peter. He said, Peter, thou art Peter. He said, Simon bar Jonah, Matthew 16. I say to you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. So Jesus called him Peter there, which means rock. Rock there. Now, one interesting aspect in the area of naming in the scripture was when Jacob got married and the wives started giving birth. You see the way they were giving names. Said, and she called his name Judah. For now she said, now will I praise the Lord. And Judah means praise. And there was a place she called the name Levi. He said, for I've given him maybe the third son, and now will I be joined to my husband. Now, the word, that name there means joining. Now, we saw Joseph, when he got to the land of Egypt, and he got married, and he gave birth to the first son. What was the name of the first son? Manasseh. What was the meaning of Manasseh? The Lord has made me to forget all my troubles. Because he really went through trouble before he got to that point. The Lord has made me to forget all my troubles. And therefore, he called the name of the child Manasseh. Now he gave birth to the second son, and he called him what? Ephraim. And what's the meaning of Ephraim? He said, "For the Lord has made me fruitful in the land." Not only human beings were named, we have cities being named. Now, where we call Bethel today, what was the initial name of Bethel? Luz. Luz, L-U-Z. And Jacob, because that was where he got to, and he put his head upon the rock, and the heaven opened. And when he woke up, he said, "I was at the gate of heaven, and I did not know it." And he poured oil upon the place, and he called the name of the place Bethel, meaning the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is where God is. And he named the place. We saw Isaac naming his wells Esek, because they strive with him over the well. Because you strive, okay, we'll call this well striving, well of striving. Do you understand that now? And he named it. Eventually, he kept digging well, and they were taking them from him until he dug one, and he named it Rehoboth. He said, "For the Lord has made room for us." So people give names to human beings, events. There was this altar that Jacob and Laban both erected, and they named it. That's a very long, jaw-breaking name. Jegar Sahaduta. That's the name of that altar. But they said in a simple, let's just call it Ed, and all of that. There was a place in Isaiah where we have the longest name. What's that name? What's that longest name? Isaiah chapter 8. Is it chapter 1, 8 or 8, 1? Let's turn our Bibles there. Have you seen it? What chapter is that? Chapter 8 of Isaiah. Now the Lord was telling the said, "Moreover, the Lord take unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen." What is the name? Mahal Shalal Hashbash. Now that's a name. And it means something. It has a meaning. So people don't just give names just like that. When Jesus, at least we have about seven people in the scriptures that they were given names before they were born. Before they were given birth to, God has spoken their names. That this is the name you will call this boy when he is born. One of them was the son of Hagar. That's Ishmael. God gave that name. An angel gave that name. Isaac was a child of promise. The name was given. Now, John the Baptist, the name had been given before he was born. And you will call his name John. Jesus, the name had been given, for you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So names are given for specific purposes and for specific assignments. All we are trying to say is that names are not just given ordinarily. Do you understand that now? And in the Bible, we don't really have what we call naming ceremony. If you look at the culture of the Hebrews, when they give birth to a boy, after 66 days, the mother will take the boy to the temple for what? For dedication. The boy will be dedicated. That is because every first male that opens the womb is the Lord's. So they will take the boy to the temple and the boy will be dedicated. But Jesus, his own name had been given before he was born. And at that time in the book of Luke, he was also taken to the temple. We didn't find any record of anybody carrying him and saying, "Thou shalt be called, thou shalt be called." They just blessed him. He was blessed. And people prophesied again concerning the Messiah. So names are given for specific purposes. And names are given also at specific times when some incidents happen. People give names. The popular one is this woman, the wife of one of the sons of Eli. When she heard that the ark of God had been taken and she was in great labor and she fell into labor and gave birth to a son and called his son's name what? Ichabod, meaning what? The glory has departed. Somebody called Jabesh, because he was a son of sorrow. He was a son of sorrow. He was given birth at the time of sorrow. So he was given that name, sorrow. In the book of Genesis, chapter 10, I think verse 25, you will find where somebody was called the name Peleg. And Peleg means division. Because it was in his days, it was during the time he was born, that division came. That the earth was divided, there was division. So his father deemed it fit to name him in remembrance of that event and called him Peleg, division. But I'm sure you will not be too happy if that's your name, if you are called division and all of that. So there are various incidents in the scriptures where names have been given. People have been given him. And God gives people name for specific purposes. For instance, when Jesus came, the Bible says, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So his name was tied to his assignment on the earth. And that was why he was given that name, Jesus, the Lord, our salvation. Now, if you are now reading Hebrews, Paul was talking, therefore, if Jesus had given them rest, then they wouldn't have spoken of another rest. And we understand that Jesus was not Jesus of Nazareth. He was talking about who? He was talking about Joshua. Because Joshua is also the equivalent, is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek Jesus. So when you want to say Joshua in Greek, you say Jesus. And when you want to say Jesus in Hebrew, you say Joshua. Because both of them means the Lord is our salvation. Now, sometimes some people are given names by God for their assignments, not just at the time of their birth. Even when they have been given birth to, they have become old people. But because they want to now go and carry out an assignment, the Lord will now give them a name. A good example is Joshua. His name was not originally Joshua. What was his original name? You didn't know that. Let's turn to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Joshua was not his original name. He has his own name. But the name changed because of an event that was to take place. Are you there? Chapter 13. Where God asked them to send spies to go and look at the land. Now, they were naming them. And of the tribe, verse 8. Are you there? Of the tribe of Ephraim, who was sent there? What was the name? Hoshea. Hoshea, the son of Nun. It's also the Joshua, the son of Nun. Now let's read on. Now let's jump to verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called who? Hoshea, son of Nun. What did he call him? Jehoshua. Jehoshaweh. Jehovah is our salvation. Now, that was the time that the name of God was added to his own name. Jehovah Hoshea. Jehoshea. So the name of God was added to his own name because of what he will eventually do and what he will stand for. So he was named. But when you look at all of these things, we discover that there had been any special ceremony marked out at the time people were giving names. Something just happened and people give names. They give names are named after people. You conquer the place. And Jerusalem was not called Jerusalem initially. It was the land of the Jebusites. But when somebody took it over, David and Abishai and Joab, when they took it over, the name was changed. So people conquer land, they give names to that city they have conquered after their own name and so on and so forth. Now, there had been no stereotyped ceremony around giving these names. But we'll discover something. People give names based on something from within them. Whether it is good or bad. Like the one who called his son Division. No, nobody told him to call the son Division. He didn't say, what shall we call this one? He looked within himself and he called that name. When John, the father of John Zechariah, was dumb and he couldn't even say anything. And the mother said, we are going to call this boy John.
the family, what did they say? They said, nobody in our family is called by that name. So we can't call him John. We will call him the name of his father. They wanted to give him a patronymical name, adding the name of his father to his own name. But the mother said, no. They said, okay, let us ask the father. And when he will write it down, what did he write? He wrote John as well. Now, it was the man that also said, let us call him John. Do you understand that now? There was no special ceremony gathered together and all of that. But let's now begin to look at cultures around. And we come to zero into our own, the culture that we belong to in the natural. There are various rites and there are various ceremonies that have been organized around giving people names. As many cultures as we have in the world, as many styles and ceremonies we have in giving names to people. Now, but coming to look at our own culture in the traditional Yoruba culture. Now, people give names almost in a way similar to the way Jewish people give names. They give names based on what is happening at that time. They give names based on some beliefs that they have that are connected to the spirits and ancestors. They give names based on that. Now, they give names from within themselves. And they also give names asking their parents to give names. For instance, now, it is believed that your parent will also name your child. This is the name you want to call your child, but your parents, your father will say, I have my own name. I will call him this name. And anytime he goes to grandma or grandpa, they will not call him that name you call him at home. They will call him the name that they have given to the child by themselves. So there are various things that connect that. Now let's begin to take it gradually. We believe that in the kingdom, we have our own culture, like we have said yesterday and we have been talking about. We have our own culture. And in the New Testament, if you begin to check through the New Testament, our own Testament, you will just see where now there are people that God changed their name. Like Saul. He used to be Saul. Do you understand? He became what? He became Paul. Now, we are people like that God changed their name. But ordinarily speaking, outside those little few isolated examples, so we see that people retain their names. The names they had, there was no place where they said, you will call them. There was nothing like that that was discussed so much in the epistles when it comes to naming and naming. Now, and when you see something like that not being given emphasis in the scriptures, it really shows that it is of no serious importance. Do you understand that now? Now, somebody said, why didn't Jesus address some of the problems or some of the things that have become controversial now when he was alive? For instance, the issue of jewelries. He said Jesus never talked about jewelries. That if Jesus could only have said something about it, it would have saved all the stress that people have today about whether we should use jewelries, whether we should not use them. Now, Jesus didn't talk about them. Do you know the reason why they didn't talk about them? Because it's not important. It is of no importance. So, it should not. There were so many things that Jesus said. And the Bible says, if they should write down everything, the books in this world will not be able to contain them. So, the ones they have given us to have are just what is important for us to have. Now, it was not everything that Jesus did all the days of his life, all the 30 years that was recorded. Not everything. But God allowed the key ones that we need that have to do with our salvation to be written down for us. And these things are written so that through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Do you understand that now? So we didn't see issue of naming and naming things coming up repeatedly in the New Testament. No. Now, in this side of the world, when people give birth to children, they name them based on the circumstances of their birth. And that's why they have names. There are some names that come from heaven. When it's a twins, they said the one will be called Taye. The first one that come out will be called Taye. And the next one that comes out will be called Kende. And the next one they will give birth to after them will be called Idowu. The next one will be called Alaba. And like that and like that. Now, if the child comes out with his leg from the womb, they say, this child is this. They will call him maybe Ige or something like that. They have something they will call maybe Oke. The one who has tied the umbilical cord round itself, the baby, will be called Oke. and the female counterpart will be called Aino, and so many names like that. Ojo, the one that has dreadlocks, Dada, and they call all manner of names and all of that, and they give them, and they even do some rites to them from time to time based on the fact that this is the way they were given birth to. Do you understand that now? Now, some names are given when the parent, when the grandparent dies, and a child is born around that time, they will say it is that parent that has come back. So they will give a name that reflects that. Father has come back. Iyabo, Yetunde, Baba Tunde. So all those Tunde, that is, they have come again. Tunde, it has come again. So whether Baba, they will now say Baba Tunde. If it is a female, they say Yetunde or Iyabo. That is, mother has come. Do you understand that now? Now, if a child is given birth to on Sunday, a male, they call him Sunday. I've not heard so many people bearing Sunday. Yeah. They call them Oseola. Now, the female is called Bosse. That is, he was given birth to on a Sunday and all of that. If he's given birth to around December, Christmas time and year, they say, it is given birth to, they give birth to you around festival time. And all of those things. And now, as believers, I don't even know to ask, do we embrace all of these things? We do not embrace things like this. Do you understand that now? I know that some of us, now if you give birth to twins, you will still go ahead and call them Taye and Kehinde. You will still go and call them that because you have not really given it a thought. You just felt that that's the way it is being done, and you also go ahead and you give them the name that the traditional people also will give to their own. But one thing that is very clear in the scripture is that we see parents giving their children names. Forget about the fact that they gave them good names or bad names. What I'm trying to bring out is that when a believer has a child, you should be able to find a name in your spirit, in God, that you want to give to your child. Now, sometimes God will instruct you, call your child this name, and you'll go ahead to do that. Like this man of God, Yonggi Cho. There was a time his name was David Yonggi Cho. But he said God told him to call himself Paul. And he became Paul Yonggi Cho. Was something wrong with David? He explained it in one of his books. That God just showed him something. Okay, I want to do something with you that way. That it will be better for your name to be Paul and not just David. And he changed that name and it became Paul Yonggi Cho. It was no longer David Yonggi Cho. Some of his earlier books, you will see David Yonggi Cho. And the recent one, you see Paul Yonggi Cho. So, sometimes God can give you, like, the names I was given. When I grew up, I asked, why was I given these names? They said, well, that's the name you came with from heaven. I said, but are there no names that I have myself that you gave me? None. And I felt so bad. That's not supposed to be. And somehow in my heart, it was so strong in my heart, even though I didn't have much knowledge then, I thought maybe when you are growing up and you need to take when you are going for baptism, I grew up in a place where they give them when they do baptism. So I have not gone for baptism. They will call, let's go. I say, I'm not ready yet. Now, all those I was thinking, myself, well, if I go, what name would they call me? What will I, what is the name I would tell them? Say, Peter, no, that's the way the thing will just turn in my, I can't, no, it doesn't. But I was this name that stuck so strongly to my heart. Passionately. I don't know why. James. I said, but what, the man is not popular. Why not Paul? Why not this? Why not that? Ever even before I went to say, okay, I'll do baptism, this name I'll be calling. I just felt that should be my name. And I began to answer it. So when I went for baptism, there was it. I said, James. And I started answering that name. Now, one day, I was studying the scriptures, and I got to Mark, and I read a place where the Bible says, and Jesus surnamed James and John, his brother, he surnamed them sons of Zebedee, he surnamed them Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. I said, that is the name. That is my name. And I began to answer James Boner since then. And I went to court. And I removed all my names, including my surname. I changed everything. So I have one problem now. If I should post my name around the internet, Only people that will be able to say we know him will be people that knew me from the time I came to Ondo. Everybody who knew me before I came to Ondo will not know that that is my name, because I never answer any of those names. Something in against me did not agree with them, and I went ahead to change them. Do you understand that now? I began to answer those names. I met a man of God, and he said, "What's the meaning of your name?" And I told him, I said, "It's the name." He said, "Do you know the meaning?" I said, "No." He said, "I will tell you the meaning of your name." And one day, he just called me and began to say some things. And when he finished, I couldn't believe what he had just said. I said, "So does it mean that God knew something ahead of time and that was playing in my heart, even though I don't have the understanding of it, that allowed that name to so much be hanging on me like that?" Say, "Wow, so this is what this name, I think I like it. So let it be. I don't have to explain it to you because it's personal." Now, names are given from within. And there's normally, as believers, New Testament believers, we are not supposed to subject ourselves to some things. Now, let me tell you this. In some areas of your life, you claim to be a Christian and you make your stand known to people. But in some other harmless, as it were, areas, you don't say anything. For instance, if they ask you to come and go to the shrine, your parents, "Let's go to the shrine," you will refuse blatantly. Say, "No, I am a child of God." But when you give birth to a child and your parents said, "I must call this name," or maybe your parents are old and one of them is dead, and say, "You must call this name this to honor your mother," in your heart, you say, "Well, it doesn't really mean anything. Well, let's call her that." And you agree to that. Now, the Bible says, "He that transgresses in one point of the law has done what? Has transgressed all." And if you cannot keep, if you break one aspect of the law, then you have broken all. Meaning that you can't say you will hold on to God in one area, and when it comes to some other area, you will just try to play it down and manage those areas. Then you are not being straight. You are trying to balance two things together. So it comes to this fact that when we say we want to live like New Testament believers, then it must be in every area of our lives. No area of our lives must be spared, including the area of social involvement and engagement. We must be able to declare for God in those areas as much as we do declare for God if we have to come and worship idols. Because we can't say this area is okay, but this one, let's just leave it. No, we will look on serious to God. Then we will not truly be living up to who we are as New Testament believers. So it comes to this, that there are so many things they do when they name. You know them. They give birth to a baby. They want to name, say, 8 days. On the eighth day, we will do the naming. Now, what I see in the scripture, they said the mother will stay at home for 66 days. Now, they will now, circumcision is done for a male on the ninth day. For the female, on the seventh day. I don't know, how many ribs does a man has? 9 ribs. How many ribs a female has? I don't know whether it has anything to do with that, but that's what is said in the scriptures. Now, the day they will now take the child to the temple for dedication, for a male, the mother will wait at home for 66 days. How many days do they wait at home in Yoruba land before they go out? 40 days. They will stay at home for 40 days before they go out for male. But for female in Hebrews, they will stay at home for 33 days before they will take the child to temple. Now, all those things are Hebrew law and everything, and it pertains to the Old Testament law, just like Yoruba has its own. But as believers, we are not bound by the spirits that control these things. They are called elemental spirits. If you read Colossians, we are not subject to them. We are not under them. For instance, now, it is just medically okay for your wife to get enough rest after giving birth and just stay at home. Must it be that 40 days that the tradition stipulates that she must also stay at home? If you say, after 40th day we are going to church, somehow you are also agreeing to that and you're operating by that. So in a way, you are opening yourself to the spirit that may be in charge of that, whether you know it or not. You are already opening yourself up to it. Now, some people came up with that idea that in this side of the world, let us name our child on what? On the eighth day. We name our child on the eighth day. Now, is it a culture of the spirit? Is it a culture of the kingdom that we do that? At least we have seen examples in the scripture. People have been given names before the father met the mother. There was a day Manoah was working on the farm, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him, you will give birth to, it was the wife, you will give birth to a son. It will be a Nazarite unto the Lord. He will not drink strong drink. The Lord will wrought a mighty deliverance in his hand. And the woman went to call the husband. This is what some, please, if you are truly from God, can you appear to me again when my husband is there? And the angel appeared again and spoke the same thing to both of them. Now, they have not even come together. The baby has not even been conceived, yet a name had been there. Do you understand that now? So even as you are now, God could minister a name that you will call your son in your heart. The name can come, God can, you call your son this name. You don't know, you don't even know who you will marry, but you already have a name that you will give to your son. And if you now have a name at this time, do you have to now wait for 8 days to come before you now give the child that name? Like we have been told, we are not giving any specification here that this is the way you should do it. But we are simply saying that there should be a way in which we do our things as kingdom people. So it doesn't mean that we are saying don't give your child names on 8 days. So this is the day you should give your child names. No, that's not what we are saying. We are simply saying that we look at this thing critically. You are the father. You gave birth to a son. The mother gave birth to a son. And somebody is coming to take responsibility for that son or for that daughter and say, this is the name that I will call. This is the name I will call. And this, if it's okay by you, if you agree with it, if you don't have any problem with it, no problem. It is what you have allowed. The Bible says, happy is the man who does not condemn himself in that which he has allowed. But that you allow something doesn't mean it is the perfect thing that should be done. Do you understand that now? It is you who have allowed it. So what are we saying in essence? If it has been said, give names to children on so day, then there is a spirit behind it. There is a reason behind that. Now, if you go by that, you are exposing yourself to that. And that, those things can have access into your life by that. Some people give birth to a child, the child dies, and is that these witches and wizards have come. Another one comes now, they now name the child with the name of death. Ikuma Ilo, Kuma Paye, Kumuyi, and all those things. They will put death, Kokumo, all those things. Ma Lomo, Duro Demi, you know, Duro Jaye, Duro Simi, and all of that. Now, if you study Yoruba very well, you will see enough of these things that it is there. Now, people even give names based on their profession. The hunters, you have Odetade, Odeyemi, Odekunle, Ode this, Ode that, and all of that. And that is why some people also use the name of God with the name of their sons. Oluwa done this, Oluwa done that, Oluwa this, Oluwa that, and all of that. We have various names like that. People who are from the families and regions of masquerade, they call their children Egu this, Egu Jobi, or Jewale, or Jerry Day, and all of those names. Now, they have cultural and traditional root and implication. We also have our own culture, which is controlled by a spirit. So let's also take our actions based on our own culture of the kingdom, controlled by the spirit of God also. Do you understand that now? So it is not spelled out in the scripture. Now, do this about name and all of that. But we want to say this, that it is proper for you as a parent. You know you are expecting a child, whether now or when the child is conceived. You should have a name to give to your son or daughter. If you think you don't have, then you can look into your spirit, because like we always say, life has answers to all. And life is the spirit. The Bible says the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, you can always look into your spirit and find out, what do I call this boy? Or what do I call this child? You don't even know the sex, except you have gone to do scan. You say, what do I call this boy? You can't wait for 9 months and you will not find something in your spirit to call your child. Do you understand that now? I was in a naming where they gave birth to his son. The boy was given 11 names. Ayomitide, Oluwaseyi, Olaoluwa. The names are so many. But today now, the boy bears only one. Majorly that. Everybody knows around. Do you understand that now? So all those 11 names that remain, what who we call the boy those names? Do you understand that now? But you should be able to look into your spirit and call your child. This is your name. The woman could also receive that and say, this is the name that will call this child. Okay, if you don't now have a name revealed to you, at least being the parent of the child, you can sit down and say, what name do we call our child? Let us call our child Stone. Let us call our child John White. Now, you have that exclusive responsibility that you are the one, you have named this child. Not somebody coming to tell you, this is the name you should give to your child. Or in the hospital, when they give birth to a child and the nurses see the way they begin to call those traditional names. Say, I went for a naming of a brother in the one of the churches I used to be before. And when they gave birth, he said the boy came out, and the way the boy came out, the nurse said, Ojori. Said, shut, don't call my son Ojo. What is Ojo? His name is Glory. What is Ojo? So it was only within that place that thing came and disappeared. The name is Glory. And till tomorrow, Glory and all of that. That's what they call the boy. Nobody will come and say Ojo. Ojo for where? For which? Why should they say Ojo? And all of that. I don't know whether they call White Clef that when you are still wearing your dress then. And all of that. Maybe some who don't know you, they will say, even if they don't, they say, see that boy. That's what they want to say because you have dreads and all of that. And people give those things to you as a parent. Even if your child comes in a way, the child has chosen to come in the way he wants to come. No name should be. Because once you allow your son or that to be called Ujo, Ajayi, the spirit behind that name comes in immediately. You have no control because you have gallantly offered. That's what you have done. You have offered. Because when the name, spirit work with names. Whether spirit of God or spirit of the devil, they work with name. So there was a spirit upon Jesus to save. Now that name Jesus was not just the J-E-S-U-S. There was a spirit of that name that was working in him and working with him until he fulfilled the assignment of that name. And when he did that, he took on another name. And Jesus, the Bible told us in Philippians 2, wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him what? And has given him a name that is that at the name of, what is the name? It's not Jesus. Read English very well. My name is James. And he said, I've done something. So, they are not confining me with another name. I've been bearing James before. So, wherefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name which Jesus has now been given, every knee shall bow. At the name which Jesus now bears, he bears another name. It bears a new name. That new name is not Jesus. That was the name he was bearing before he took on that honor. But when he resurrected, he got another name. Now, why will God highly exalt him if he had not died on the cross? Now, that can be likened to Jesus being glorified. Now, you will hear the Bible say something like, and Jesus was not yet glorified. So some things could not be done. He was not yet glorified. So when he became glorified, a new name came. And the authority of that name came upon him. The power of that name was vested upon him. So when you open your children to all those traditional names, the spirit of those names work with them. Do you understand that now? You know, there's something our parents used to do. My mom used to do it once in a while, even though I just tried to shut her down. I don't reckon with all of those things. Hey, how are you? Oh, mommy, to da. Omola, Omo Kinikon. They begin to chant your praise name. Now, those things are spirits. They are calling forth. How do you know? When they begin to say those things to you, how do you feel? You can't feel normal at that material time. Some things will begin to move within you. Some stirrings, they are calling forth. They are calling forth your source. They are calling some things. You understand now? They are calling them forth. So you don't identify with things like that because they said you are Idowu. And your mom says, Idowu, mom, I told that. Idowu, go. And begin to say some of those things. They are chanting traditional things upon you. They are invoking. It's an invocation. Do you understand that now? They said Alaba, the one who follows the twin, and the one who follows the devil, that is the devil that is behind the two twins. And they begin to use that name to praise and say, Alaba, Ishulayin Beji. That's all, and all of those things. And they begin to call them forth, and that's a way they are opening you up to those things. So it's a good thing to tell your parents and say, well, if you get to understand what's on his name, my name is Dixon. Say, your mom may not know you as Dixon. No, your mom will say, mommy, Ajayi, Ogidiolu. And begin to say, you say, no, mom, that is not like that. It is, no, I am not like that. That is not really consistent. You know, those things, they are traditional. Do you understand that now? We don't expect that, at least I like what Pastor said yesterday, that some of these things we are saying, we may not be able to radically change it out there. But at least we can change them. They can begin with us. You don't know how much generation that are in you. They can begin with you. And you begin to change things around you. At least all of us here now, when we put these things into practice, when the time will come for us to do these things, do you see how wonderful it will be? You no longer, you will give that to twins now. And you say, what is their name? You say, this one shall be called Sean. And this one will be called Michael. You say, Tayeni. You say, no. That is what I want to call them. You say, this is Sean. And you call them another name. You say, this will be Johnson. This will be this. You say, this will be Ron. This will be Samuel. You just give them names. You have to give them names different from what the traditional people say. Because in Igbo land, they have the name they give twins. In Hausa land, they have the name to give twins. In Yoruba, they call them Taye and Kende and all of that. Do you understand that now? And those things have things that go with them. Look at Jacob. It was called Jacob because he was what? A supplanter. And it's somebody who can do for one night, who can swindle you. And he was really going and working in the power of that name until his name was changed to what? Israel. A prince with God. That's a better name. A prince with God. And so sometimes when God refers to Israel in the flesh, he calls them Jacob. And sometimes he calls them Israel. Israel, my firstborn. So God changed that name. Do you understand that now? So when it now comes to the aspect of ceremony, normally speaking, even the way the world is going, it doesn't really call forth that after you give birth to a child, you now gather people together on 8 days, you drum and you dance and you eat and you spend so much money, not because you don't have it, but because you are doing what it has been termed, namely because it is normal. You don't even know why it is being done. And you also continue it. We feel it is not really proper somewhere. You should be able to sit down and give your child a name if you want people to rejoice with you. For instance, now we saw dedicating children. That one is proper. You bring your child to the say, I want to dedicate this child to the Lord. Now, not that the child has not been dedicated from the Lord from the womb or as the father. You have been talking to the womb. Like, I don't believe that if my wife is pregnant now, I'll just be looking at her every day. No, I'll be speaking to that child. I'll be talking to that child. I'll be speaking things into that child. Now, it was proven by experiment that babies that are spoken to in the womb responded differently from the ones that were not spoken to in the womb. So while they were in the womb, they are so conscious. Sing to them, talk to them, shout to them. They will become aggressive when they give birth. But say lovely things to them, say good things to them. It will reflect when they are born. It has been discovered even scientifically. Do you understand that now? But when you now bring them to church, it's not you are bringing. We are receiving them into the fold. They are becoming part of the house. And we are dedicating them to the Lord. You child, you will follow the way of the Lord. We speak into the life of that child, just like a code. You will punch some code into the child. So that, you know, it doesn't matter wherever the child goes. We have issued some codes into that life. That is the personal level of it. That's the way the father and the mother can do it. There's also the corporate dimension to it. That the church of God can say, this child will say this to you, will say this to you, and will say this to you. Now, the time you do that is not specified anywhere. You do it at your own choosing, at your own time, and at whatever day pleases you. Do you understand that now? The Igbo people spend a whole lot of money in dedicating children in their churches. They spend money, they kill gold, they feasting, and all of that. Now, we are not saying people cannot rejoice with you because you have a child. They can come rejoice with you, and when people come to rejoice with you, you can decide to say, okay, I want to just entertain you. But you should be able to get spiritually creative about all these things, that you don't have to fall back to what has been since the beginning of the world. How do we used to do it? Do you understand that now? And I know you are going to face a lot of opposition. People will tell you, what are you doing? It is not being done that way. That is very wrong. We have people who have done it ahead of us, and they query them as well, but nothing happened, all the same. And their children are living, they are well, and they are alive, and they are behaving like any other normal child. And nobody even remembered their naming ceremony. Nobody remembered anything about them. Now, for instance, I look at the mother of a child that just gives birth. There's a way it will take the body to resettle back into the original shape. And like the Jirawa came here and said it, if you see, remember, that why should a man take out his wife after 8 days, the woman that has gone through a whole lot of stress, and they come out on 8 days to do wahala, and they dance in the name of naming, and the woman still goes back home tired and worn out and all of that. Now why can't you allow your wife to have good rest? Even if they're going to do anything called naming, you say you want to do it, why don't you give your wife time enough to be strong bodily, to be able to withstand the stress of going through a ceremony? Or don't you think that those things take energy? To be the one wearing something and greeting people, thank you for coming, this and that. You see to it that everybody is okay. At the end of the day, you are fagged out. You could develop anything from there. That it behoves us men to be able to say, this is your wife. You have a duty to protect your wife, to stand there for your wife, because she is a weaker vessel. She is not weak, but the body is not as strong as the body of a man. Do you understand that now? Like some men are so, how do I put it now? They are so conscious of themselves as the head that they cannot help their wives to do some work. I was in a place to buy fuel, and there was a long queue. And there was this man, big man, and his wife was with him. They wanted to go and buy fuel, and they now brought 50 liter keg out. And they finished filling their car, they now filled 50 liter. And the man was now going for it. Now they have to carry it. And the man was now going. And the person who went together said, can you see that stupid man? Say, what, sir? He asked the wife to carry 50 liter keg. I said, it's time to prove that he's a big man. While another pastor was saying somewhere, he said, in our house, I am the one who fetches water. Upstairs, go up and down. He said, I'm the one who fetch water. He said, the woman doesn't have the strength I have to carry water up and down. He said, and if she breaks down in the process, I will also be the one that will take her to the hospital and spend the money we don't even have yet. So why can't I fetch water? Why can't I do the masculine things around the house and let her do the things that she can do? That doesn't mean that women should now say, husband, now do every work. No. What are we saying? There's a way their body needs to go through some process of rest. You now bring out on 7 days or 8 days because you must do naming, and you now go through another stretch. It doesn't bring in wisdom somewhere. Do we understand that now? We as God's children should be able to stand, like Pastor, we have prayed today. We should be able to stand for these things. God should be able to give us grace to be committed to these things and to live them. So you give out to your child, look into your spirit, name your child. Do you understand that? Name your child. And people are coming and they say, like Pastor was telling us yesterday, when Joshua was given out to, I don't think it was on the 8th day, they now gave the name that day. In the womb, you will have been addressing the child by the name from the womb. There's nothing wrong with that. And he said, when will you do the naming? He said, we have named him. He said, when? He has his name already, so we are not doing anything in him and all of that. But you know, all of us, we are not at the same level. We can't receive things equally, even though how wonderful it is if you can receive things in the same way. But when I see some of us sitting down here, you will say, go ahead and do name. You will still go ahead. But even if you must, then why don't you just do it in a way that doesn't affect your purse, that doesn't affect you? Like we were saying yesterday, whatever we do, we must be conscious of our convenience and our peace of mind and our joy. Nothing must affect those things in anything you do. In any ceremony, you must not get into a ceremony where you have to run up and down helter-skelter. Hallelujah. Is it clear? Do we understand things, something about that? You give your child name based on the spirit. There's no particular day. The Bible says one man consider one day holy, another man considers another day holy. Let everybody be persuaded in his own heart. There is nothing about one day. It used to be in the Old Testament, one day is better than another day. Now that we are, every day is alike before the Lord. Do you understand that now? It's part of what we should have said yesterday about wedding. You can get married on Monday. You can get married on Sunday. You can do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There is no day that is put aside for wedding. No, it can happen any day. In the same way, if you want to do, you can name your child any day. You can even do naming. We are talking about the ceremony aspect of, you can call your wife, oh, let's name this child. And you lay your hands on the child, and you call the brother, maybe he has a brother or younger one. Yeah, come around, let's surround this baby. Let's say this is the name of the baby. Now let's pray this name into this life of the baby. You are naming the baby. You can create your own ceremony. Some people created the ceremony of, we put sugar in the mouth of the baby. We put salt. We put sugar cane. We put palm oil. We put alligator pepper. They will not take the child. In Anglican, they even do it. They will take the child and put the leg of the child down. They will say, you will match the ground. Now, it's not different from priests. All those Ifa priests. It's not different from the way they do their own things also. But you can create your own test, your own ceremony. Do you understand that now? You can choose to dress yourself and say, today I want to name you. And I'm naming you this in the name of, and today we are fasting to name you. You are creating your own ceremony to do that. We are saying, let us look into our spirit to do things that we do and bring forth something out. Do you understand that now? Is it clear to us? We have a question on naming, and let's move to another ceremony. Okay, sir.
Please, I want us to also know that many of us here, yeah, as you grow up, you're going to be leaders in churches. That you are a pastor or whatever. As you learn these things, know that you have it as a duty also to ensure that you do not create a people or assembly that are steered up on the wave of those things. No. I remember the last time my junior brother, you know, was doing naming. I was in school and he told me ahead of time. And I just remember that it was coming on that day and I was wearing a t-shirt. All of a sudden, I just remember that the naming is coming up and the sense got to me. I said, go home and change. And I said, what is big deal about naming? There's a way we create ceremony about around those things, even ministers. I'll make it as if we are anointing is flowing. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. You see, those things are just dramas. Drama, nothing. There's nothing there. Okay? Let's begin to live a life of simplicity of the spirit. Very effective. If you're a minister, learn to purge yourself of that craft. Paul talks about, say, we have not used the word of God. You know, we have not taken that word, craftily used that word. We have made it so plain. Let's learn to live a life of plainness. And that's what I'm saying now. Praise the Lord. People may not see you as anointed, but you'll have owe it to your heart and God that you have lived a plain life before these people. So please don't encourage Buddha. Bring your child to church for naming. I was asking Nick the other time, I said, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Tell us what you want to do. It's your thing. If you feel you have done it and we don't need anything, just tell us the name. We come to church on Sunday, we announce the name of Lekan's baby. It's Suzu and so. And that's as effective as whatever. If that is what she wants.
The gospel is our job. Eh? It does not contain any enemy. So let's be busy with edifying the same, building the saints in righteousness, than building ceremonies. And there people see us as we are anointed. We are, you know, there we flex muscles. It's not straight. It's not clean. It's deceit. It's a crafty heart. The Lord will really help us. Amen. So please, the church is I look ahead for a generation of a people that are as plain as possible. And that's why sometimes you see the Jehovah's Witness people, they have gone ahead of the church of their time to an extent in some of these things. Only that they made it a sectarian thing. They made it exclusive. Is that you do it that way? They baptize you onto those things, not unto Christ. So they tell you their tenets, what they believe, the way they do their things. And then you say, I believe it. And they'll baptize you to those things. No, that's not the way. You are baptized to Christ, who is a spirit. You're not baptized to traditions and cultures and the doctrines. It is now by that baptism on the Christ that now knowledge of Christ become revealed to you. I think so they had that, but they took those few things they thought they knew and they ran along with it. And they became a sect. But they saw those things ahead and they have been using them. Get some of their services as plain as though there's no spirit there. Okay? It's devoid of spirit, but you can see simplicity. Hallelujah. Do we have any question on that? Just let's interact together if there's few before it goes to the next one, please.
Hallelujah. See, at a point in my life, I was considering that my name was the name, the way my name comes up was that I had a grandfather that was to receive a chieftaincy title or bale of a particular village. And the day he was to receive so the day they were coming from Kabiesi Palace, that was the same day I came forth. And they find no other name to name me, and they said, let us call this one Oyewole, Oyewumi, Oyebola. And I just, there's a particular time in my life I was blessed. I just ran to my mom. I said, Mommy, is there any other name I was named on the day I was given birth? Is there any other name I was named on the day of naming ceremony? He said, was mentioned some names that were not so real to her. I was, what other name can I just be bearing now that I didn't like this name and some other things like that. And when I got to Boarding House, Oye was removed. They were calling me Wole. I said, even Wole is all right to some extent. So when I found myself, I don't try to like tell them Oye Wole. I tell them I'm Wally, and some other. If you want to know that, you want to know everything about. I say Oye Wole. That's what I bear. So since then I know those things. Before I begin to understand this, I know the impact. A man was saying something one day. He said Oruko Maronyo. I was aligning myself to what he said. That really, and he told Bimonto Sakwe Shango die. You see Shango. If somebody begin to take care of your child, what will now become of the child? So I begin to link myself to those things, and I just conclude that I can't help it. I just rested my case. So I don't know if there's anything you can throw light on this thing.
If we really have to go into all of that, sometimes there are a whole lot of issues around that. But you have been given a name, and they gave it based on some circumstances, and you know they are not spiritually compliant, and you feel that I don't think I can go with this. Now it depends on the stand you take about them. Do you understand that? Now it depends on the stand. Like myself, I never liked those names.
Right? Even my surname, my names, I never liked them. Why couldn't you call me some normal names? Not, don't tell me I came from heaven with some names. Why? Why should you call me? Why don't you name me normal names? Why can't you call me Temidayo? Why can't you call me Kayode? Can't you call me Shola Tosin? Why must you call me with a name from? So I developed that revolt against it. But I had no choice. I answered that name all through primary school and all through secondary school. But when I had my own opportunity now, I did not even wait for nobody. I went to the court. I did the affidavit, sworn affidavit. And one of these, I said, it contradicts my Christian stance and belief. And that's the reason I'm changing the name. I did it in High Court Ondo. I did it in High Court of War. You know, to just, and I've been bearing that name. And that's the name you know me by. And I can't ever link myself with that past. It is only those who know me distantly that call me that name. I say, well, this is my name now. I say, well, are you okay? This and that. Now, it depends on what you feel about it. For instance, now, I know a man of God. His name is Reverend Areogun. An anointed man of God. And sound man of God. A teacher of the word. We call him Bible Dictionary. He is so sound. He's very sound in the scripture and sound in the spirit as well. But his name is Areogun. Do you know the meaning of that? Are means the president. The not president. That's the modern meaning of Are. Are in Yoruba. Are on Akakan for the general. Yeah. The chief of the Ogun people. Ogun is an idol now. And he is preaching the gospel. And his name is Reverend Areogun. Olushola Areogun is in Osun State, Living Word Jesus Ministry. Very sound man of God like that. He didn't change the name. Till tomorrow, he's still Reverend Areogun. I believe that he must have thought about that name so many times, and he just felt maybe he didn't have any. Maybe God told him, though, it doesn't mean anything. It's of no consequence. Because the fact remains that once you are in Christ, you are a new creature. So you are not identified by the natural, you are identified by the spiritual. This is your real spiritual identity. Yours is even okay. It's very okay. How about the people they call some other name, the direct idol's name, and they call them like that, or some negative names, that, and they will be calling them that name. Or some people have some traditional names, especially maybe in the Igbo land, they have some traditional names. And when you hear some of those traditional names now, I think you will want to like them. One day I was asking Maria, I said, what's your name? What are your names? It's just Maria. No other second name. In all through school, they would say, you should have third name. Almost everybody in school always have third name. I said, the name is Maria. I said, you must have a name. He said, well, actually, there is a name. I said, it's not English. It's in a Edo State name. I said, please, I want to hear it. And she called the name. It's jaw-breaking. And I said, what's the meaning? And when she told me the meaning, I said, I think I like that. I like the meaning. I like the meaning of that name. So we have some names that are even deep than ordinary, and they give people like that. It depends on what your reaction is to that name. If God is telling you, change that name, go ahead and do that. But if there is no, if your spirit is not revolting, forget about it and just live your life. Do you understand that now? If you are a female, just console yourself with the fathers. One day you will drop that name. And that person will begin to, like one pastor in Ibadan, his name is Reverend Femi Albato Duwole. How many people know him in Ibadan? Albato Duwole. Now, he got married to a lady. The name of the name of the lady is Odenilo. He now told, he said, why not Duwole Odenilo? You know, and it just went like that. So I don't know whether the wife likes to be Miss Odenilo or something. But maybe she's okay with Oduwole. So at least you will drop the name and begin to bear another name and all of that. The wedding we went for last Saturday, the husband name is Ogun something. And the woman had never borne any name that has Ogun. But now she's getting married to a man who has been born, and she now misses Ogun something. And she doesn't feel it's any of any. So if you don't feel any revolt from your spirit against that name, just go on and live your life. Because what matters is your spiritual identity, your new creature. But if you have an express word from the Lord, or you find your spirit revolting against things, you can pray about it. And you can begin, then go ahead and change the name. And we have a lecturer that had to change his name. I heard that some things have been happening to him of late that are very negative and negative and negative. And it was called and they advised him, I think this is your name. It's not working well. And he went to change it. And it's no, now some of us still know him as that name, but it's no longer that name now. He has changed to another name. So once you find a revolt in yourself, go ahead and change the name. Now, some, your father will want to tell you, what do you mean? Like some parents now, when they give birth, I used to wonder, why didn't my father answer his own name? I would have been glad to answer his name than to answer his father's name, which is the family name. I don't like that name. So why didn't he answer his name? So you could have your own child and say, child, I am your father. So and a child bears the name of his father. So you will bear my name, not my father's name. It's all your choice and all of that. So if you don't find a revolt in yourself, just go on and live your life. No big deal about it. And you can, in fact, we know some people who used to bear, like this lady in Akumba then, her name is Tawa. Tawa. She's not a Muslim, but maybe she grew up a Muslim and they gave her that name, Tawa. And you know the Tawa Kali too. And then she just looked at it and said, I can't even be calling me. And she's a very too sharp girl. Tawa. Can't be calling me. And she just changed it. She just Americanized it. Tawana. Wow. When you hear that name, you in your mind, before you see, you know there is someone that will be like, oh, Tawana. You know, Sean. You know, all those American names. Lakeisha. You know? And she just Americanized the thing. And it became very nice to sound in the air. And she, yes, this is, now that's creativity. Instead of just Tawa. So, what's your name? My name is Tawana. So I said, wow, yeah. They will not even be able to, like everywhere I've got one, he said, what's your name? I said, my name is James Bona. He said, are you a Yoruba? I said, well, that's none of your concern. My name is James Bona. Write it down. It's official. They said, is there a nickname? What do you mean nickname? I am telling you my name, you are saying nickname. See the ID card, see everything. It is, that's the name. So it in fact, I like it that way. It makes a lot of people not to even know exactly who are you. A lot of people have come in so many things, say you are a Hausa person. Some people say I'm a Ghanaian. In fact, somebody somewhere, I don't remember the person now, we go with the impression I'm a Ghanaian. Because you say, you look like you are a Ghanaian. It was not even saying you said, are you? He said, you are a Ghanaian. I said, yes, I'm a Ghanaian. And he didn't even, he just take it like that. Somebody say, you look like an Igbo person. Somebody say, you look so, the last time I was coming from Lagos, the driver that took me said, you look like a Hausa person. We were talking about price. And we were just talking, I say, from Reverend Kisa, what am I carrying? He said, Baba Egbe Kiniko, Baba Kile. He said, so you can speak your, I thought, in my mind, I thought you are Hausa people. So it doesn't, it's not written somewhere, it's not about the letter, it's about the identity you carry within you. That is what matters. Do you understand that now? So if you feel, I want to change this thing, go ahead, change it. If you have a revolt in your heart against, change it. But if you are not, just let it go. Bear that name. Do you understand that now? Much more what that matters is your identity in the spirit. Yes, any other question related to that? Okay.
In a situation where you dislike the name you bear, and the name happened to be your surname, for example, maybe Sean Godinron, and your father, your father is a kind of a person that to even discuss it with him is a problem, not to talk of admitting to it. So, in such a situation, maybe this person is not, it's not even about being born again now, but he does not like it being called by that name, Sean Godinron. Now, what will happen if he goes ahead, or what will happen if he tells his father and the father refuses?
Okay. It has to do with the father now.
Well, in a situation like that, maybe when the person is still quite young, and he's still under the house of the father. And the father says, you have to bear this name. Go ahead and bear the name until you are 18. When you are 18, you are a man or you go to the court and drop the name. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be a loggerhead. Just know in your heart that you don't really like this name. Well, when the time comes, you go ahead and change the name like he did his own. And he changed it. Go to court and swear affidavit and the name is changed.
All right. Sometimes it may not be... Yes, quickly.
There's something that is my own experience that is related to that. Now, my surname is Ogunshaki. And when I mention it to people, people will be like, it is Jason Loshaki, Ogun is no more the thing. But I feel that strongly in my heart that is not even my identity. Just like you have said. I know that Jesus is in me. That is not disputable. But the thing that runs in my mind is, even my children are not going to bear the name. I already have plans for that. When I buy books, some of the books I write there for the Olumuyiwas, they are going to bear my own first name, which they call me at home. And that is what I've discovered can help. Even if you feel that you can't change it now, okay, why not think about a generation that you will be responsible for the name they bear and you try to make a change?
That's also a better one. You can do that, at least giving your children your own name rather than letting them continue that name. Do you understand that now? Sometimes, like Mommy said, you could tell your parents, I don't want to bear this name. But I discovered that in traditional Yoruba land, what they revere is the issue of Agba. Agba is always right. And everything Agba says, you don't have what it takes to even contradict it. If it is in the Western world now, oh, it's very simple. We just go it. But sometimes a child of 18 here is still struggling with jam at all. And your father is still paying your school fees. So you discover that you are in a tight corner, as it were. Even if you become 21, you are now legally responsible for your actions. You can go to jail according to the law of Nigeria. A person becomes legally responsible for his action at age 21. So anything you do at that time, you will be treated not as a minor. Do you understand that now? You'll be treated as an adult. They say a 22-year-old man, and when you go and check it, if you listen to news very well, you read the newspaper, they say a 21-year-old man was caught, a 24-year-old woman housewife was caught. And when you see 24, and you are even far more than that, and still writing jam and all of that. So in this area, they don't regard children as if you can stand on your own. In fact, some people have to stay, like we used to say, some people will finish school now and go for service. And it's that 1 year they go for service that they will really be out of home. They will come back again after service and still be living and waking up with the father and mother, eating food. They have to cook in the morning. You have to wait before and all of that. So if you have not really got a high level of independence from them, especially if your father says, no way, you will not change it. One will still need wisdom in that. You can seek for counsel before you take some drastic step. Even if you are hell-bent on changing that name, you can still seek for advice from spiritual elderly people that can tell you what to do. And at best, if your father wants to say this and that, and you know it can lead to some other things, you could adopt another option. But I said, anyway, that's the name. No problem. We will bear it, but it will end with me. It will not pass on from me. I will shut it from my line. It will never go from me to the next person. So you call your children your own name, or you fashion a name for your children and all of that. But sometimes, even on your certificates, another reason why it may not be that easy, except you go to court, your certificates, almost all your certificates have been bearing that name. So you have to go to make it legal. And that's why we say all former documents remain valid. Like if I bring my primary school certificate now, you don't tell me I am not the person there. I have done something that says all former documents remain valid. Do you understand that now? So if you are at a logger, like in my own case, I was in the process of saying, okay, let us discuss these things with our dad. Why should we even be bearing this name and all of that? Along the line, eventually we didn't go on with the discussion before he passed on. Say, oh, that's even better. I now have a leeway. I was the first person that championed that course in the whole house. And now every single one of us, six of us, we have all gone to court. We have all changed it. Our mom now bears it, even though she doesn't have to go to court to do that. But that's what she bears now. Nobody reckons with that former one anymore. So sometimes your father will refuse completely and say, you cannot do that. But in such a case, you need to really know what you are doing. And you must be prepared for some fallout that may come from that. Pray about it as a child of God. Look into it. Don't go on rashly. So like some believers say, no, why can you say this is so good something? Jesus is the Lord. No, don't do it with zeal. The Bible says it's not good for a heart to be without knowledge. Everything must be done with a level-headedness. Do you understand that now? Like the Mayawas option, you can adopt that. Like you can really go to court or wait till a time when maybe you are a graduate, you have left university. Then your father at that point cannot really be telling you, do this, do this. It will be glaring that you are no longer a child. Then you cannot go on and effect that. But you don't have to even say you are you have to explain to your dad why that cannot continue and all of that. So I think that, I don't know whether Pastor.
It has been said, I just want to say that when it comes to change of name, there's no age you get to that your father will ever reason with you why you will want to change that name. There's no age you get to. The issue there is that, like I said, you get to a point where you are matured and independent, and you go ahead and do what you know is right without discussing it. At that point, you are responsible for your actions. They hear it, they don't like it, they are angry, it's done, it's done. If you have the conviction. Okay. Some of these things you don't need discussion on them, because these people they don't have the capacity to understand what you are saying. And you put them more into trouble by discussion. Once you have get to a stage of independence and responsibility under God, bear whatever you know you are ordered to do and go ahead and do it. At the end of the day, you just find out that you are responsible to God and you bear the brunt yourself. I think you see what I'm saying now. So discussing it will not, your generation is far. They can't capture what you are saying. Even if you're a spiritual person, you will still not understand what you are talking about. I think you see what I'm saying now. So I think use your independence and
praise the Lord. This is a case that, ordinarily speaking, we expect that it's more like a common sense kind of thing. But like in a family where they are actually idol worshippers, but like the eldest amongst them, he thought about it and decided to change his name. Actually, he got born again and gave his life to Christ and thought about changing his name. So when he did that, he changed his own surname. But he didn't give that name to his children. He gave them another name. So like in his own family, they have two surnames, his own and the children's apart. Then he now came to the extended family, his family and the younger ones, and now told them that they have to change their own names too. Majority of them are not born again. They don't have this idea that, but he is now taking it on a personal basis that if they don't change their name, it's not going to have anything to do with them, and he is a born again. So how do we reconcile this?
Well, that one is going beyond, that's going to the extreme. Whatever you do for yourself. Just as he has become aware and he got conscious that I need to do this thing, and he felt nobody should query and question his actions, so also he should leave that choice open for his siblings. They are also in the independent entities. They can do what they like. They can decide to retain the name. I know a brother, a very spirit-filled person. He wedded in one gospel church down there. He's not from this town, but he married somebody from this town. That was where he wedded. I attended the wedding then. It just occurred to him. He has a very nice surname. And it just occurred to him one time. He likes all these traditional and ancient things. He came from a family of the mighty ones. And he just began to do research. A university graduate, I think he works in Abuja now. Very well read. And he began to research and discovered that his forefathers, the real names of his forefathers is not what his father is bearing. And he thinks he liked that name. He said he will begin to go back and be bearing that name. But his own elder brother, who is an SS person in Abuja, has one funny name, Odana Ogun. That is the one who makes the fire for Ogun. He likes that so much. And now that other surname that he discovered, the name of the father's father, Ameipa, the one who kills with the teeth. Ameipa. He said, I like that one. And he began to bear that one. Now, he's a serious believer. These are people we look up to. You know, scripture, you know, fellowship and all that. And but he's on this traditional, he also likes these traditional things like some people do. So, that's his choice. It doesn't mean his younger brother or elder brother will now say, we must now go back to that. So, that brother, like Pastor said, has not mingled knowledge with that. You have done what you feel is right. Allow them as a free moral agent to do what they feel they want to do because they are responsible also for their individual actions. Do we understand that now? So that's what happens in such a case. Are we clear on that? Yeah. Now let's quickly touch on the issue of housewarming, house roofing, where we have to do things. Like in this land, the day you roof your house, you must kill a goat. It's very traditional. I don't think that... It's very sacrificial. Do you understand that now? That one is sacrificial. Why must you kill a goat because you are roofing your house? And they must kill the goat in that house. Make sure they kill in that premises. It's sacrificial. I don't think we as New Testament believers should do something like that. If God should bless you, you are roofing your house. Now go ahead and do it. Now the day, you know, sometimes... Well, they will say civilization has spoiled a lot of so many traditional heritage, but at the same time, in a way, it has its own plus. For instance, now if you have money and you employ Julius Berger to build you a house, will they tell you the day they will be doing the roofing? So that they can now come and kill goats there. But it's because you are the one supervising the project and you are there every day, not even because you are the one, because that's the tradition. So you must do that. Now the day you raise your house to a point and you roof it, that day you must slaughter a goat. It is very, very sacrificial. And we as believers should abstain from that. It's not in our culture. Now, how about housewarming? I don't think they do it more these days again. Those days it used to... It's fading. In our days, we used to go to a lot of housewarming. Oh, Chile. You know, said they are warming. Actually, what that housewarming means, Yoruba, they are opening the house. They are opening it so that they can move in there. Officially, I know a pastor, not a pastor, a member of a former church, who had a house in Fagun, and the day they have completed everything and they have moved in, and they just wanted to celebrate it coincided with the wife's 40th birthday, so they just put everything together. That I was invited to come and preach there, and we went there. They didn't really say they are opening house, but the birthday part aspect was more emphasized, and we just drank and we rejoiced and we chatted around and everything and went away. So you can really do anything in your house. Somebody invited you just to a feast. So it doesn't have to be this traditional feast that I've been. You can also create your own. One idea I have in my mind is that after maybe if I'm married and a lot of people around me are married, we'll be doing something like exchange program, as it were, something like all of us will come together. We will come together as couples and sit down, you and your wife, and we'll just chat around and just eat. We are not going to be preaching revelation. We are coming to just eat and just chat around and eat. Because I discovered that it's not that maybe when we do ceremonies, the essence of something there is we rejoicing, making merry. And as these days, if you invite me to a wedding, the major thing on my mind is the rice you want to give me to eat. And the drink I would drink. The last one I went now, I took a drink that I've been seeing that drink on magazine. I've never seen it live like this. It's on magazine, but for the first time, and I'm very glad for that, I took it. Nice drink. I will not tell you the name. When I see the advert, look on the drink now. The thing will be all this foreign magazine. What kind of drink is this? Why? It's chilled. I just look at it. I don't know. But that day, I just, so this is that drink. So I took it joyfully. The essence of all of these things sometimes is to come together and rejoice with ourselves and make merry. Look at when Laban made covenant with Jacob. They came to do something serious, but they still found time to sit down and still eat, and they drank, they ate, they drank. Because there's something about that, rejoicing together, sharing together, food, drinks, there's something to eat. No matter how spiritual you are, if you do your wedding, you go, don't serve food, see how people will react. So there is that. So like, we can even fashion out what has not been. For instance, now Alfred was doing his birthday, we decided to make it a song meeting thing. And from that day, I told myself, next time when I'm doing my birthday, we are not going to come together and say we are cutting cake again. I will come and reward all of you. I'm telling you, that's what I'll be doing. Henceforth, the next birthday now, we'll gather us together. I will reward you. You know what I mean? I will rev you. I'll be telling you, so I will tell, I'm not going to preach, but I will just be telling you so, I will be talking and I'll be telling you so many things. Do you understand that now? I will not do much of singing, but I will do much of speaking. I will talk, like, share with you so many things. I can tell you the story of my life. That day I can say, okay, let's, I want to tell you a story. And by the time I tell that story, I will weave it into the word of God, weave it into, wow, you, at the end of the day, we just go home happy. But that doesn't mean we can't put food, attraction, side attraction there, maybe food and all of that. We don't even make it side attraction because every side attraction is a distraction. We'll make it as the main thing. But we just, you can create things out of things. Do you understand that now? For instance, let me jump to this. When we were in school and they were doing matriculation, and the whole place was agog as if somebody has come to town. And I was looking in my mind, what is the big deal about matriculation? You are just in school. You are coming to school. You don't even know what will happen. A lot of us matriculated. They sent them away from that degree one. They failed woefully and they were sent home. So in my mind, I didn't take it seriously. So I was at home that day. I wasn't going to buy the matric gown. But the lecturer called me and told me, they might hold it against you later. I didn't just go and pay it. In fact, he offered to give me, he even gave me times two of the money. He said, go and pay for it. I bought the gown. So I was not, a lot of people are going to kill, how should I line up in the sun because I want to get one dirty old gown, one bed bug infested gown and all of that. That I don't have time to even go and wash and all of that. Well, I will get it on the matric day. So I was now coming around that day, maybe around 10. I just sauntered into the office and said, I want to collect gown. And one said, you're just coming to take gown now. I don't have time. Come back later. I said, what I don't even want to wear. I just went on like that and I wore just my shirt and my trousers that day. And that was what I wore all through the day. I was just looking at things happening around and all of that. A lot of people were rejoicing. Well, I don't say they should not rejoice because that's the first time they'll be coming to us. It is a glory, really, and all of that. So they did that. So I just occurred to me that how about one of these days if my son just said, Dad, did you do matriculation? Of course I did. Can I have the picture? Say, okay, let me. So the following year, when I was in 200 level, when they were doing, and I say I just took somebody's gun, just put it on, they snap me, and I took a picture with it, and that's all. Just for me to have a record of it, that's why I did. That was no. And I told myself, will I now call my parents and call people and bring them down to school here that I want to go and keep because I am just being admitted into school? I told myself, even if there was anything I was going to do, let's say convocation, maybe when they say, okay, we are doing convocation, whatever. I would like to be there. I would like to see what's happening and all of that. But I don't think I will go and call people and say, come on. Because what I'm just doing now, so many people have done it in the past and it's not a big deal. You see, things appear to you the way you take them. And the way you take things in the light of realities. There are frivolities and there are realities. There are eternal realities. When we live our life in the perspective of eternal realities, some things will just lose value to us. We don't attach importance to them because they don't mean anything. And some will say, convocation. We will convoke. And they will go. And they will cook all the... And they will be dancing. And you are convocating or you're convoking. What's this call? You have third class. Or you have two. Or you have 2-1. If you do anything, it doesn't mean all masters. Some would do master, like follow somebody to Ibadan to go and do PhD ceremony. It was, we finished it, we went, we ate amala, we ate rice and all of that. well, no problem. But for me, I don't count those things to be anything. They are not achievements. They are not achievements. I was writing my CV and I said, my long-term career goal is to become ultimately a professor of English language. And I lied. I wrote it because I just wanted to write it to catch attention. I don't mean to become one. And I mean it. Because it is not, the way I see it, some people don't see it that way. But the way I see it, it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing to me. If I just could get a PhD, why? Because it is required in the field I'm going to be in. That's the essence, I will get it. And I will stop there. I don't want to use all my life to be reading. I need to live life, to just live life and have time with my family. And wrote there, I said, one of my hobbies, I like spending time with my family and friends. It's also part of it. So that you should be able to live life. This live life and enjoy the life that you have. So when I wake up every day and I find, now, I have a moving house. See now, I have a mobile, everything. I'm prepared. It's not that, what is this? Anywhere not for us. Because my house, I don't have to go home to feel good. Some of you, if you don't go to your house, you can't feel good. If night falls and meets me here, when pastor is sitting down on the table, me too, I'll be sitting down. If they have not prepared my own, they must just find a way of, if they will take doctors and give me, I must just, because I'm a member of this house. I am a member of this house as much as Joshua is a member of this house. You understand? Know, I can't get to our first house and say, son of man. Say, yeah, anytime I get there, son of man, we don't. We don't chop beans. He was cooking the beans. He got a call. He ran away. I said, oh, we have to. He said, complete it now. I did the completion. What am I saying? I have come to a point whereby I want to just leave. I don't want to wait for a stage in life where I will begin to enjoy life. And when I mean enjoy life, not eating chicken, but to live and be free and be happy. I don't have to get to a stage. He said, you are a graduate. Nah, a graduate. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't make anything to me. I teach people who are in universities before I enter there. At all levels, I teach them. I'm not a student. I will teach them. And they will come to me, solve issues. So it's not what is there. It's what you have inside of you that makes you. You understand that now? It is what you have inside. So we attach some importance to some things and some... Based on your eternal, how wide your eternal perspective is, that is how you will attach importance to things or otherwise. So when they say they are doing convocation, I will attend. Because I know they want to call my name. Okay, we finish. Okay, let's see what you have there. I want to just see. But don't think I will go and cook rice or I will gather people. But someday, on a normal day, I can just say, oh, let's just take a stroll to Tantalizer. Maybe somebody's around and so can you join us? Let's just go and eat some good things. Let's just go have a nice time. And we'll go there and we'll sit down. We just say, okay, just eat things. And that is it. It doesn't have to wait for one occasion. Most times when I go to market, I say, okay, just go to where they sell chicken. Just buy it there, kill it there. Let's bring, we used to cook food and we eat it. It doesn't have to wait for the Easter day or New Year Day before we do all of that. We must be able to live our lives to be able to enjoy that life that God has given unto us. So graduation, matriculation, even freedom ceremony. Maybe you are learning one job, you are learning how to sew. And in those days in my area, when you graduate from tailoring school, and that tailoring school is just one shop there, they will now take crate of coke on top of your head. You will wear matric gown. And they will dance from your house to the house of your guy in the hot sun. They will dance. And they will dance there. They will pray for you, give you certificate. They will dance back. All those things, really, they are frivolities. Do you understand that now? It goes for all ceremonies. It goes for various ceremonies. Even burial ceremony. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. A pastor said, he said, if his mother should die, he would just go there and dig the earth and put her there, cover the thing and seal it and go away. He will not even tell you or call you, come and join me. When my dad died and we had to go bury him, and so when we got to the grave site, they did everything, they covered it. So when we go, we just had to leave in a hurry because we came with the school bus and all of that. So my mom now said, oh, we need to go and put slab and, you know, raise a platform around there and all of that. I said, okay, we'll do all of that later. So along the line, it just occurred to me. I just began to look. I said, ah, okay, if we don't put slab there, we may not know exact spot where it was buried, though, and that may be bad. But I began to think about it. What exactly will take me back there? Do I want to go and put flower there? I'm not a white man. Do I want to go and visit him after 1 year and say, to, this is where you have helped me till. Don't sleep, oh. Watch over your children. To, and I'll pray, and I'll go. Will I go and do that? That's at the latros. So it just occurred to me that nothing will ever take me back there. And it just occurred to me that that is not my father. That is his body. That is carcass. We have to keep it away, otherwise it will mess around the whole atmosphere. And I told my mom, we are not going. Say, ah! No, let us do. I said, mommy, we will not go back. What will take? We will not go back there. And that was so many, many years ago. And the only thing I know is that I know the town where I was buried. I know the cemetery of church where I was buried. I don't know the spot. What, do I need it? Will anything? And somebody say, ah, you're a bastard. You did that to your father. And all of that. So it depends on how we see things. Do you understand that now? Because I just was able to see a reality in that truly I don't need anything that will take me. Nobody will. They will not say, in my qualification, in my CV, they will not say, where was your father buried? It will not be. Just, that will be the end of it. Now, I'm not saying if you are burying somebody, don't put a slab there. And maybe if they have brought it that day and they have put cement and all of those things there, and as they are covering it in, they are also putting blocks, that would have been a different case. But all of those things were not made, and there was no pressure for all of that. It was just something we did quickly. Now, for me to now travel back and go and spend money garnishing the sepulcher, I felt it's not. And I convinced my mom and my elder brother, we don't need to. He said, it's true, Jare. And today now, nothing has happened to us. We are not feeling bad and all of that. If I want to see him, I have his pictures. I can always scroll through it. So I say, this is my dad and all of that. So it depends on how you take things that they will be to you. Like in this town, they have a lot of culture about burying. You as the eldest son, you must slaughter goat. As the eldest daughter, you must slaughter goat. And a lot of culture. You see, the Church of God, like the Bible says, has no other form of doctrine to give. But we should be able to look into ourselves as God's children, New Testament believers, and say, this is what we will do. This is what we will do. And sometimes wisdom can even demand that you do go all your way and do some things for the sake of some people. Like the time we went for that chieftaincy title there. I don't think Reverend K wants to just do things because he wants to do. No, but we are speaking something. And that message he spoke is still ringing. These people, they love you. They are not just into their own world. Do you understand that now? So that sometimes God could give some instruction and I even give you go ahead to do some things. It will not be wrong because it's coming from God. Like we said yesterday, whatever comes from God cannot be wrong. But on the general scale of tradition, we divorce ourselves from traditions of men. We say we have our own tradition. Somebody dies, then must we even go to church to say we are doing burial ceremony or service? Okay, somebody dies. The next thing is to find a way of getting the person buried. And the person is, okay, let's take care and bury it. It's okay. And everybody goes his own way. But people will tell you are being stupid. That you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. We must be convinced in our hearts of our own culture. Hallelujah. And like we have said, you may not be able to stop those who are doing it, but you can begin from yourself and to your generation so that things can change and things can be in the way they should be. There are various generations. He said, there were they that fear God, but God is in the generation of the righteous. So God must be in our generation. God must be seen in all that we do. God must be glorified in everything that we do. Call it anything that people out there are doing. When it's your own turn to do so, glorify God in it and let people talk about it. They don't have to accept you. They don't have to love you. Like I was telling somebody today, if you do something based on what somebody thinks, unconsciously you are already being controlled by what people say. Just do what you want to do. Do you understand that now? Do what you want to do. I don't want them to feel that
I don't want them to think that. That's a way you have already subjected yourself to what people say. And that will begin to control you unconsciously all your life. Come out of that hold. And let anybody who wants to say something, let them say it. You have a good choice not to respond and to just go your own way. Whatever they say will not come and stay on you. But you know what you are doing. In time to come, like the Bible says, wisdom is justified of our children. In time to come, like Pastor say, they will come to say, ah, this is good. I want to do my own like that. Do you understand that now? I pray that God will help us. Let's take general questions on all of this. Yes, Dixon.
My question goes on that burial ceremony or that burial stuff. Now, some of the time, when a father wants to die, and he knew that my days are drawing near, and he will gather his sons and daughters and say, okay, when I die, he will give them speculations of how to go about his burial. That, okay, do like this, do this and this and this. Some of the time, not always, with those things fall in line with God's plan or intentions or the will of God, so to say, or with those scriptural sometimes, but because he said it, and after he had died, can we 100% follow those things?
Now, situations vary from people to people. For instance, look at this. Something surprised me. The Muslims, they have a culture. When somebody dies, when do they bury the person? That same day. But when NKO died, what happened? Did they follow that thing? Why couldn't they follow it? Logistics. The man died in the government custody in Abuja. And normally he should have been buried that day. And I think he died around evening time. Now, the government can't say, because let's bury him here. He has a house, he has his family in Lagos. So they have to find a way of moving him from Abuja back to Lagos to his own house. They have to do lying in state for him. Somebody that has not been seen for like 4 years. People want to see him, even in his dead body. Now, because of that... Now, that's Muslim. That's not even Christian now. Now, somebody comes up and says, when he dies, take me and put me here. Do this and do this and do that. Now, if you are in a position to reason with the person and ask question, why are you doing all of these things? Because the Bible says after death, judgment. Is it that you feel that being put in this situation and all of that will make any difference to where you are going? It depends. I just want it that way. Okay, if that is what you want, we will see what we can do to about that. But we will not go outside of our way to do what is not convenient for us. I heard a story in this land, a man was buried one time with gold coffin, with gold everything. That in the night, the armed robbers came there and removed everything and placed his body bare on the floor like that. And that the sons had to go back the next day to go and just wrap it and just drop it in one hole like that. Do you understand that now? And some people will say, if you don't do it that way, I will come and fight you. It's a lie. The Bible says concerning David, when he gave her to his son by Bathsheba, and God said the son would die. And he was fasting. And eventually, they said the son would die. And the son died. And they now told him. And he went to eat and he was okay. They said, are you not crazy? He said, no. He said, God has told me that he will die. He said, he cannot come to me. I will be the one that will go to him. So all this necromancy thing that somebody dies, comes back and come and show you, is not real. When somebody dies, that is the end. He leaves this world and leaves it for good. He doesn't come back here. Whatever people say, whatever people choose to believe in any quarter, it is not so. Demonic spirit could be operating and doing some manipulation. When somebody dies, it goes for good, either to the place of hell or to the place of God. That is it. So if you feel that, well, he's not asking for too much, maybe he says, if he dies, put me in my suit. You wear my suit. Is he not his suit? Then wear it for him. If he says this, but when he begins to come to some point that is seriously going to place a serious demand on you and maybe alter so many things around you, let the person know, well, we can't guarantee that. But whatever we can do, we will do. Now, if the person tries to threaten and say,
tell the person, if you go, you are gone. You better be concerned about where you are going than how where you'll be put, because you will not, when you close your eyes, that is it. So, and he's the one who is saying, if I die, you will now put me out. Do you know whether it may be, he may die in the situation where they will not be able to see his body to now say where they are putting something? And that reminds me, some people do absentia burial. I don't know whether you have heard about that. Maybe some people died in plane crash and they couldn't find their body, and the family will now go and carry a coffin, and they will now go and bury empty coffin. I don't know. It's just they are trying to just to say, we just buried. Indians, they burn their bodies. Doesn't mean anything to them. But somebody died in plane crash and they couldn't find, but they will now carry empty coffin. Government even does it. Government will carry empty coffin, 120 empty coffins, because there are 120 people on the plane, and they will just go and waste land and put something. And some family will feel good. Yes, at least our son is buried. It's buried. You know, he didn't just die like that. They take pride in that. Now, all those things are not, to me, and in the light of what we are saying as believers, they are things that do not count. Because we look at things from the perspective of God, not from the way it appears to our reason. Do we understand that? How does God see these things? If God sees that important, then let's take it seriously. If God sees that it's of no importance, then let's not attach any importance to that. Hallelujah.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818, or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.